The Song Confessional podcast contains mature themes and adult languages, so I reckon if you know what's good for you, you better put them children to sleep.
This is Walker Lukens, and you are listening to the 8th episode of Let me explain to you what we do here at the Song Confessional. So we travel around the country and we record people telling us stories anonymously. We call these confessions. We give our favorite confessions to songwriters and bands who then write and record an original song based on that confession. On each episode of the podcast, you'll hear the confession, the song it inspired, and then an interview with the people who wrote it. I'm sitting here with the spy who loved me. Tell him your name.
Zach Catanzaro.
And Zach, what artist are we going to be hearing from today?
We've got Harmar Superstar from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And how might the people know Harmar?
So many different ways. He's an actor, he is a musician, he's a songwriter, he's been recording for a couple decades. He's recorded or written songs, rather, for Jennifer Lopez, for Kelly Osbourne.
He's really all over the place.
I could go on forever, yeah. So many different things. He's a busy guy.
I first saw him when I was 15 years old. He was opening for the Strokes, and he was a one-man show basically the whole time, except at the end, two Strokes came out, and they did Be My Baby to close his set. It was awesome.
That's pretty cool. I first recognized him on Broad City as a Oi Boy at a pretentious art exhibit.
It's a really fantastic episode. You should check it out. And if you are unfamiliar with Harmar and you're looking for a way in, listen to this episode. And then after that, check out the video of him at the Minnesota Timberwolves halftime show.
Yeah, this just happened like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and it's absolutely incredible.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
Also, you might recognize Harmar or Sean Tillman from the band Heartbones, which he is in with Austin's own Sabrina Ellis.
Absolutely. Walker, what's our confession about this week?
Well, we recorded this confession almost exactly a year ago. Our confessor came in with her friend and told us all about her Valentine's Day escapade. It started at the Yellow Rose, which is a strip club of some note.
Yeah, they call it a gentleman's club, but this night it was a ladies' club.
It was a ladies' club. the traveling stripper troupe, Magic Mike's traveling stripper troupe was there. And our confessor and her friend went, and she told us all about it.
And for those of you that don't know, Magic Mike was immortalized by Channing Tatum and Matthew McConaughey in the early aughts. Mm-hmm. It's basically a traveling stripper crew with lots of choreography and oil and sexy abs.
So without further ado, here's this week's confession. Confession! Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, do you have a story to tell us today?
I do.
Okay.
I think.
So, start from the beginning.
Well, 6 o'clock on Valentine's Day with no plans, I was invited to a Magic Mike show, tribute show at Yellow Rose. And decided 20 minutes to spare to go. And
who invited you to the Magic Mike tribute show?
A really good friend of mine who goes every year, actually, on Valentine's Day. So I changed into boots and leggings and headed to Yellow Rose, a local strip club, gentlemen's club. Turns out we arrived 2 hours early, hour and a half early. Front row, leaning on the stage seats, and had no idea what I was getting myself into at the time, except that I paid $10 for a VIP ticket to a strip club on Valentine's Day. So we get there early, we order a bottle of champagne that of course comes with sparklers and chocolate-covered strawberries, because it's Valentine's Day. We have a few rounds of drinks, and the show starts. They call 4 ladies up to the stage, one of them a good friend of mine that I'm with, and introduce the 4 dancers, we'll call them. One Caucasian male with glasses in a professor teacher professional, I don't know, suit, blazer, tie, glasses, very sharp cowboy in what I can only describe as if Wrangler jeans made rip-away jeans that turn into assless denim chaps.
Wow.
There was a Dominican guy who, I think, man, couldn't tell you the name. And then there was an African-American guy who was kind of like the hot rapper of the group. And those were the four. And, of course, they started out all buttoned up, fully clothed. Clothes continued to come off throughout the night. Very much sticking in character with lassos and everything you can imagine goes along with that. So another part of it is you can purchase these, like, legal paper-sized playing cards, like an ace or king, a queen, or jack. And you don't know which one it is, but it matches up with one of the strippers, and then at the point that they get to in that routine, you go up if you have that card, if you've purchased that card, and get a dance with that specific stripper.
On stage.
On stage. And I, at this point, am very confused about what's going on, and I've had a lot of champagne, and don't really understand the process of the routine. Go outside to smoke a cigarette, miss them calling me to a dance on stage with the cowboy, and come back, and they've started a new routine, at which point cowboy stripper leans over the side of the stage and says to me, "You missed your dance with me, but I'm coming back for you." And
what,
then,
what were you feeling when he said that? What was the feeling you had?
I think my knees were weak because he had a cowboy hat. I was a little in shock. So at the end, they kind of just circle through the crowd and give lap dances, and cowboy stripper circles back around, tells me his real name, writes his cell phone number on my cocktail napkin, grabs my hand and takes me to the VIP area where I get my own lap dance, and talk about life dreams and hobbies and make plans to go fishing the next day. I was a lot of conversation. piecing this night back together right now. Anyway, show ends, my phone's dead, hit Whataburger on the way back to my apartment, phone's back on, and I continue to text said stripper, who did not give me a fake number, and 1:30 in the morning, I told him I could be at Holiday Inn in 20 minutes, and he said, "I'll see you in 20 minutes. Wow. The other really good part of the story, anonymously, is that through this whole process, the girlfriend that I went with was having the exact same experience with the professor, stripper, staying at the same hotel. So we lifted over together, and then at 7:30 in the morning, we met back up in the lobby and lifted home.
That's really good.
I feel like I'm reliving it, and it's awesome.
Do we need some physical details?
So you and your friend meet up at the Holiday Inn, and then she goes with the professor, and you go with the cowboy. And what happened?
Well, we obviously slept together, which was great. And then we stayed up till 4 in the morning talking about literally our life hopes and dreams. And it turns out he's a super sweet guy who's doing this tour, which he told me would be the last tour that he does, because he's going back to school.
What was it like having sex with a cowboy, a sexual dynamo stripper cowboy?
Well, he's 6'5", and he has some very cowboy tattoos of antlers and tribal things, and is beautiful, and is also not a cowboy in real life. A little disappointing, but a very southern Tennessee fisherman.
And what are some of his hopes and dreams?
To go back to school, to travel to as many countries as possible. He has a very extensive list of places he's already traveled. I think he said he was born to fish at one point.
What is it like when you see your
friends?
We're
really both in great shape, for sure. I think my bra was hanging out of my purse.
Amazing.
My favorite detail of the night actually was I was rushing so quickly to get dressed that I tried to put my leather boots on with no socks and just didn't work super well. Had to find my socks from underneath the hotel bed. Got in a Lyft, who was like a super chatty 7:30 a.m. fun ride back to our homestead, and then went our separate ways to work by 9 o'clock.
Wow.
There's more to the story now, actually, because the text that I got, A, I left my watch at the hotel, which he kindly left with the front hotel manager that I had to walk of shame back and get the next day at 4 p.m. I get a text the next evening that says, "Don't you go forgetting about me now." And we've kept in pretty constant contact. They had a show in Houston the next night, to which I got a photo saying, "Here we go again," selfie before he goes on stage, and a few updates throughout the show, how it's going.
Man, so it sounds like y'all are gonna stay in contact, yeah?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna see him today. They're back in Austin tonight for a show.
They're back in Austin?
Yeah.
If you see him tonight, will you let me know?
I will. I can absolutely do that. Okay. I could text him right now, actually.
Thank you. Could you see yourself dating this guy? Like, if you lived here?
I wouldn't say no. And the best part is my friend that went with Professor, they talked on the phone for 2 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, they're at coffee right now as we speak.
Do you think you're the only one he's, like, the only person he's ever had a thing with on the road?
Oh, no way.
How does that affect your feelings about it? Like, does it make it more fun or less fun, or doesn't matter?
It doesn't really matter. I'm kind of neutral about it.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, well, this is what they do. But then I was like, it would be really exhausting staying up till 4 a.m. talking about what you want out of life every night. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine that's always what happens.
Well, I think we have everything we need. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Hi, Jim Eno here. How you doing, Walker?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you, Jim?
Pretty good. So that confession, does that make you think of island vibes at all?
Me, no.
No?
No, I don't think about islands.
Interesting, because that's what Harmar told me after he heard the confession. He's like, I think this one needs some island vibes.
So he listened to the confession here in the studio, and he says, I want island vibes. And how did you get that? Because the song definitely has island vibes.
Yeah, totally. Well, I have a 4-year-old son, and we come out and play in the studio all the time, and he loves the Omnicord. And when you turn the Omnicord on, it instantly has island vibes. So I was like, this could be perfect. So I took this out to them. They were writing in the patio outside the studio, and they pretty much wrote all the chords right there in about 15 minutes, just right on the Omnicord.
And then everyone came back into the studio, and how long did it take to track this song?
Start to finish with the band, getting pretty much everything tracked, was probably about 4 hours.
Wow. That's incredibly quick, considering how lush the song is.
Yeah, and then they wanted some background gang vocals, but sounded a little weird having just dudes do it. So that's when I called you and said, let's get some female vocals on this.
Yeah, and I texted Jane Ellen Bryant and Sarah Hauser, and they were available by chance that evening.
Yep, and they killed it.
Well, here it is, y'all, the world premiere of Don't You Go Forgetting About Me Now.
To begin the rest of our life. strangling your thoughts while your body gets so hot. Coffee and cream. All dance inside your mind. All dance inside. Inside your mind.
Don't You Go Forgetting About Me Now was written by Sean Tillman. It was performed by Sean Tillman, Aaron Baum, Ryan Mock, and Alex Proctor. The backup vocals were performed by Jane Ellen Bryant and Sarah Hauser. It was engineered, mixed, and produced by Jim Eno with assistant engineering by Grant Epley. Man, does that song make you want to have a one-night stand?
I have to say no, but it does make me want to have, like, an incredible night in Tahiti, half naked in a straw skirt, probably with like coconut shells on my breast area,
mm-hmm.
really drunk, watching the sunrise and like crawling back to my grass hut and sleeping for 3 days.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So it's like in my heart, it's like a one night stand with myself.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So maybe actually the answer is yes.
I've never done that. Or had a one-night stand.
Yeah.
I'm a little baby boy.
Because I'm a little baby boy. But no, the song is like, it's so fun. But it doesn't make me think sex. It makes me think really sugary, delicious drinks.
You'll hear more about one-night stands, island themes, and fisherman dreams in my interview with Sean Tillman.
Interview.
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 Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm sitting here with Sean of Harmar Superstar. We're going to talk about this awesome confession.
Yes.
So I have a couple just Just preliminary questions.
Okay.
In your own words, what was this story about? This confession.
You know, I think it was a chance encounter of a lust, and you know, to me, it was just like, it was just really insane. Just imagining just like these four dudes traveling around the country doing like a tribute show to a film that's about strippers. Yeah. And this is what they do. And they're like all over, they're coming back to town. You know what I mean? The fact that they like circling back and like doing East Coast tours and like, this is like a life that like involves just dancing, stripping.
Just dancing and stripping.
Yeah.
So this one time, I was on tour with my band and we had this guitar player. He only did one tour with us, but he was 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
Really good looking. He would spend most of the day in tearaways.
Yeah.
He wore basketball shoes and either a hoodie or like just a jersey.
Yeah.
And one day we were at a gas station in the middle of nowhere and he got out and someone said, "Oh, are you part of the such and such stripper show?" And he had no idea what was going on. He came back to the van and we thought it was the funniest, weirdest thing. Yeah. Who would ever assume that a van full of people was a traveling stripper show?
Yeah, exactly.
So when I heard this, it made me laugh because I was like, oh, wow. Like maybe that really is a thing. Don't know. I've noticed since Stormy Daniels became part of our culture that I see her name around the country.
Yeah.
And maybe I just miss it. I've just missed it.
I mean, it happens. I know that there are like, you know, porn stars, et cetera, that like definitely do like club appearances. And I'm not sure exactly what they do, but I think people are just like, you know.
I guess they get in the van just like the rest of us, man.
I mean, what a life.
Yeah.
No sound check, but you got to stay buff. So that's pretty tricky.
That is so impressive if you imagine, you know, someone traveling most of the day and then they get there. I mean, I guess it is a good workout, but like. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's just like, and then in my mind, I'm like, how many are they just juggling like women every night? Like, you know, coming back and they're keeping in touch with these people. They must be pretty young to have all this energy.
Totally. Yeah. One of the things I loved so much about the confessor is she just could care less that he probably has done this a lot.
Yeah, she seems really chill.
She's super chill.
Yeah.
The other thing I really liked about her attitude in it was it was like she took the whole experience at face value.
Yeah, totally.
But obviously like saw why it was a good story.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, how could you not?
Yeah, how could you not?
It's such a good story. It's great. And it's great that on the day she went in the confessional, she was going to meet up with him again.
It's
that night. And the professor was at coffee. And that's the thing. So they're going on like coffee dates.
Yeah.
That's like super young stuff.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Or like, you know, way old stuff. But I'm guessing that, you know what I mean? Like,
true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I liked a lot of the details that she remembered. And I noticed that you put a lot of them in your song.
I tried to, you know, when I was listening to the confession, I was just like taking notes of like, you know, key elements of the story and like, you know, the "Don't You Go Forgetting About Me,"
which is an amazing refrain.
That's great. It. Yeah. So that had to be the, I was screaming to be a chorus, you know what I mean? And like, and just like the, you know, her details about her leggings and boots and, and yeah, just like a lot of it just made it in there. The song kind of wrote itself, you know. The chords just sort of like fell into place. And
did you do you usually put a lot of kind of I don't know, firsthand details like that in your lyrics?
I guess I had a project called, or I still do it sometimes, called Sha Na Na. That's like more kind of guitar based, kind of more like, I don't know. It's more songwriting like that, I guess. So I definitely hadn't done it for a while, but it is like a thing I've done a lot. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You're just getting little snippets of really specific details.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, wait, what? You know?
Yeah. It was nice to do it to somebody else's story too, because then, first of all, I didn't have to like make things up, and like I felt like, I feel like it was a lot younger when I was doing a lot of the Sha Na Na recordings, and so they'd be like really like kind of weirdly spiteful by the end, you know what I mean? Like, kind of just like,
yeah,
like hating yourself and your story kind of thing. So it was nice to kind of just have like a kind of a cool story to tell that I didn't really have to like invest in, but I just had to like kind of be the portal of it, you know?
This song, you wrote it pretty quickly?
Yeah, it was written in like 10 minutes.
Wow.
Like we kind of like, I was feeling like from the story kind of, I don't know, I was, the vibe came to me as like a Hawaiian cowboy kind of vibe. So mm-hmm. I said that and Jim ran and got this like, Suzuki Q chord, Omni chord thing that was like immediately had like a bossa nova beat in it. And we just started playing the chords and it had the sevenths and everything already there. Boring details, but we just sort of like, I just started writing lyrics. The other guys went in and started messing with synths. I came up, we kind of like mapped out the parts and it was literally just like done. And
yeah,
we like, we laid down the chord patterns and my scratch vocal at the same time. And yeah, it was like 20 minutes later. It was like, wow, all there.
My friend Sarah Hauser sang she's one of the female vocalists.
Oh, awesome.
At the end,
yeah, I didn't get to meet them because we were playing a show.
You had a show.
Yeah.
She described it as if Sergio Mendez and Barry Manilow wrote a song for a spaghetti western about a stripper in Vegas. I mean it as a compliment.
That's great. That's a good review right there. Put that on my tombstone.
I'm gonna put that on your tombstone. I thought that was a really, really good description of the song.
Yeah, I'm really glad they got to make it in there.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And it's Sarah Hauser and it's Jane Ellen Bryant, and they both have their own projects, both play with a lot of people, both do a lot of studio work. I love working with them, but I just texted them at like 5 and they just happened to be free. So I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, we got like the rough mix last night while we were like out at Hotel Vegas, and we were all like standing in the corners, like listening to it on our phones separately. And we were so stoked. We went home and listened to it like, I don't know, like 8 times in a row. And it's not a short song.
Yeah.
It's pretty epic.
It does. It kind of reminds me of, do you know that Frank Sinatra song, Something Stupid?
Oh yeah. I haven't heard it for a long time, but yeah.
It has that kind of like wistful drinking cocktails on the beach vibe.
Yeah, totally.
But like 10 cocktails.
A lot. Yeah. We didn't realize it was like 6 minutes until we like actually saw it, like, you know, on,
yeah,
as like a file. I was like, oh God. Cause it's just like verse, chorus, bridge, double chorus, which I normally do, but I guess I just don't write songs that slow or wordy. I'm not sure exactly, but
I never noticed the length until,
until you just see it and you're like, oh Jesus. Cause it doesn't feel long. I don't think it's, which is weird.
I don't think so either. Did you kind of personally connect with the story at all?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, it was refreshing to hear a one-night stand story that was, like, so chill. You know what I mean? Like, not at all embarrassed or anything, and just sort of like, it was great. He was a really sweet guy. We talked about our hopes and dreams, you know? Like, he wants to be a fisherman.
It's also true. That is really true.
You know what I mean? We're like, I feel like I know this guy. I feel like I slept with him.
Yeah. I feel like I slept with him too. Yeah. Like,
can I get his number?
Yeah. No, but it's interesting that I hadn't thought about it, but I guess nowadays when I hear one night stand stories, it's always a connection that happened through a dating app.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And there's always like this, not always, but a lot of times there's like a kind of almost like sinister thing to it.
Yeah, there's like a creepiness. I can't do, I've never like done the Tinder thing just because I feel like people kind of like would know who I am maybe if it was like in my town or something like that. And that could like turn just like weird, or it's get like fucked with, or like somebody would just like, you know, mess with you all the time. So I'm always just like very like standoffish with it, and I'm like, so I've never really had the Tinder kind of thing, the experience. But you know, like after touring for so many years, is you end up in situations. But like, it's always for me not shameful either. So it's like, you know, I feel like it's just nice to hear hear a woman just lay it down like that and be like, yeah, well, that was great.
You yeah. Know, it was fucking... So I noticed that you work a lot in like R&B, soul,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. you know? And that, like when, because like the whole, like all your records, like it's not even just kind of one, like you're drawing from just one era. Like,
yeah,
it has always come across to me like you're very familiar.
Oh yeah,
like the whole breadth of the kind of history and genre, and even this song,
yeah,
which is a different kind of throwback thing. But how did you become so familiar with all this music?
I don't know, man. I just started like geeking out on records when I was like 5, you know. Like yeah. I started like early and would learn all the lyrics to every record and like obsess over them, like, you know, stand by the record player with the headphones on, staring at it spinning. And I don't know, you know, it's just I just got really curious and, you know, dug through my brother's, sister's and parents' record collections and kind of like took stuff from every pocket I could. And I don't know, I never really was like a one genre person. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'd just like be like, well, what's this? This is Simon and Garfunkel, or, you know, I'm going to listen yeah. to License to Ill right now. And I'm also going to listen to like Two Live Crew, but I'm also going to get into like Gilbert O'Sullivan. You know what I mean? Like, and just mm-hmm. like kind of just whatever would happen. I just felt like it helped me connect to people more because I could talk to anybody about their favorite record because I knew it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so you can kind of like break open the room that way.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that's really cool about what you do is that I think other people who might do that, they might get called like a throwback thing, but
yeah.
I never see that label get thrown at you.
No, not too much. I mean,
why do you think that is, though?
I don't know. I think maybe because I use like modern sounds or something. Like I try to like keep the songwriting form pretty like classic, but yeah. then, you know, I don't get tied down to like the throwback sounds and I think sometimes like the lyrical content's like a little like weird. So that helps take it out of there, you know?
Yeah.
It makes it kind of its own thing.
Do you have anything on the horizon? Any records?
I have a new band with Sabrina Ellis, mm-hmm. from Giant Dog and Sweet Spirit, called Heartbones. Mm-hmm. And we've recorded about 13 songs now. We've released a few singles. Wow. So we have like an album pretty much ready to go. We might write a couple more and get in the studio again next month, but figuring out who's going to put that out, when it's coming out. And then I'm about halfway into the new Harmar album. And I've been playing with my old band from when I was like 17 called Calvin Crime again. We were like a noise band on AMRAP, and we've just been like writing new shit. I've just been like constantly like trying to play it with everybody. And I was in the studio with Ryan Olson. We were like making ideas for a new Gangs record, so I don't know, we're just trying to make shit, you know.
Yeah,
it sounds like a lot, but I'm like really like sitting on my couch watching TV, like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, you're doing all the stuff that if you do it right, you can like go home at the end of the day and
yeah,
just be human,
or you can just do it all in like 3 manic days.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yep. Like, you know, and then just like,
yeah,
then fuck around.
And so you're doing all this in Minneapolis.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part. I've come down here to write with Sabrina sometimes, but we do most of the recording up there at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting, man. I like what I've heard from you guys, and I love everything Sabrina works on. So.
Oh, yeah. She's the best. Yeah, yeah. It's really fun to write songs with her.
How did y'all meet?
I was just like a huge fan. She's just such a amazing front person that like and singer and I'd seen a Giant Dog just at like things like Fun 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 Fest or like South by Southwest when yeah. I'd be down here, and I'd always make sure to go check their shows out. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her if she'd want to come on tour at any point, and she brought Sweet Spirit with us on tour for like a month a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And she started jumping up and singing a couple songs with us in our set, and just how our voices sounded together on stage was like, we gotta do something. You know, like it was just kind of just obvious at that point.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Walker, question on everyone's mind. Did he text her again? Did they date? Are they married? What do we got?
It didn't work out. That they never saw each other again. Now, it's been a long time. But
it could have rekindled, potentially.
I mean, he is a traveling stripper. Though he might be getting out of the game.
It sounded impossible to me, but she was so hopeful.
Yeah, she really was.
I really wanted to believe in it. We all did, I think.
I'll try to find her contact, and I'll try to follow up again. But the last I heard, which was right after this, they didn't meet up again, and it didn't work out.
Because this is like a reverse Pretty Woman. I mean, she could have taken him out of the traveling stripper lifestyle and put him in a nice suit, gotten him a haircut. I mean, if he's a cowboy, he's probably got a decent haircut already, but
true.
He doesn't have a nice suit.
What would the name of that movie be? Pretty Man? Would they get like Cardi B to redo Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison and be called Pretty Man?
That would be good.
That's pretty good.
Who are the leads in this movie?
Now to me it's Cardi B.
Well, there you go.
it's like Cardi B and like Danny DeVito.
Then it's fully reversed. Then Cardi B's taking a businessman out of the suit and putting him on the pole.
I love it. That is amazing. Oh my God.
So when was the last time you were at a strip club, Walker?
I was at a strip club for a friend's bachelor party.
Okay.
Something of a
typical.
Yeah. It's something of a pretty man himself.
Mm.
Definitely not your typical strip going or stereotypical strip club going guy.
But he's a suit wearing 9-to-5er.
He calls himself a moon child.
Okay. So
we end up at this strip club and he's taking some MDMA, mm-hmm. ecstasy, or Molly, whatever you know it as. And many people are buying him lap dances. And each time it just turned into him dancing with the stripper or on the stripper.
Fantastic.
It kind of all culminated when they brought him onto the stage and he ended up dancing on the pole. And all of the strippers were just sort of circled around him, like kind of cheering him on.
That's so good.
It was very, very funny.
So put the man on the pole. Put the pretty man on the pole.
They put the pretty man on the pole.
I liked it.
It really changed the atmosphere in that strip club.
I can only imagine.
Completely. It was
turned
very,
it upside down.
Very, very funny.
That's
it went
great.
From the usual awkwardness of being in those places to just everyone kind of cracking up.
Real names.
Yeah.
It's the crowning achievement. That's like
real
that's
names.
Like the
were exchanged.
That's the Bowser level of the strip club is real names. You defeated Bowser's castle.
Oh my God, that's well said.
The Song Confessional podcast is produced by myself, Walker Lukens, Aaron Blackerby, Rylan Kettery, Jim Eno, Mike Lee, and brought to you by KUTX.
The theme song you heard at the beginning was written by me, Walker Lukens. It was performed by myself, Zach Catanzaro, and James Wesley Essery. It was engineered and mixed by Grant Hepley, and then remixed and made a little louder by Matt Gerhard at Public Hi-Fi.
Don't You Go Forgetting About Me Now can be downloaded, listened to, streamed, purchased, however it is, whatever it is that you're consuming your music these days, it's out there.
If you like this podcast, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about it. The second best thing you can do is rate, review, and subscribe to Song Confessional Podcast wherever it is that you listen to episodes. Also, we'd like to apologize to Matt Riley. I'm sorry I forgot my hot towel.